to share a little bit on a subject I've been doing on holiness. And I won't be long tonight, I will be brief. Actually, this was the shortest of the studies I had, so it fitted in well tonight. I don't think it was that short. But we'll be through. I just want to look at three things tonight that produce holiness. That's what we've been looking at, holiness. And if we go to Leviticus chapter 11, normally we started off reading from the book of Peter, and Peter quotes Leviticus 11 in his letter. And God is giving a lot of instructions in these early chapters of Leviticus, laws and what they must do and how they must treat people that are clean and unclean, animals that are clean and unclean. We're not going to look at any of that tonight, but in verse 44 it says this, and this is the bit that Peter quotes in his letter in 1 Peter. He says, "Therefore I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. For I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy." Be holy, for I am holy. You know, I just want to think for a minute on that last verse we read, verse 45. Here God says, if he says, "I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt." Now this was very early on in the days when God's people had come up out of Egypt. They'd been delivered from Egypt. They'd come through the Red Sea. They were in the wilderness in those first few weeks of coming up out of Egypt. And God's giving them laws that will enable them to live in the promised land. He's setting in the foundation of, really, he's setting up, if we like, their nation. These are their founding laws. This is how they were to conduct themselves. They're coming into the land, or they're about to go into the land that God had promised, or so they expected. You know, it took them another 40 years to get there because of their unbelief. You know, God's doing something in their lives. And this always is a symbolic of us coming up out of sin. You know, God saved us. He's brought us up out of Egypt. And we've come up out of sin. You know, we've come through the Red Sea. You know, we've put to death the past. You know, we've been saved. You know, God begins to speak to us and give us instruction on how we should live. You know, it's God's grace, because that's the first thing that brings us to holiness, the grace of God. It's God's grace that has saved us. It's God's grace that brought us up out of Egypt. It's God's grace that makes us holy. And God lives inside us. He lives right, you know, we said earlier on about, you know, being in God, in his presence. But God is right inside us. Now he lives in us by his Spirit. And that Spirit is the Holy Spirit. You know, so everything God teaches us, everything God shows us, is to bring us to that point where we are like him. He says, "Be holy, for I am holy." But God's grace is not just a one-time thing. It's not just something that happened when we got saved. It was not something that just happened to us however many years ago, or however many days ago. Or God's grace is ongoing in our life. Because in the New Testament, Paul writing to young man in the book of Titus. In chapter 2, he says this. Chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. I've only got six scriptures tonight to look at, so it's not going to be long. Paul writes in Titus 2, verse 11, he says, For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in the present age. Everything God did in the wilderness to his people was to bring them to the place where they lived as best as they could, this lifestyle. That they lived soberly, righteously, and godly as near as they could. You know, he knew they could never live exactly as God wanted because the blood of Jesus hadn't been shed. You know, there was no salvation at that point. You know, all they had, they were just living in a dispensation of time that was dealt with on an annual basis. You know, their sins were covered every year. They went into the holy place. They made offerings for their sins. So as best as they could, that's the reason God gave the law, because he knew without it they'd really mess up. That's it. He gave all those laws. He said, look, do this and you'll be all right. Do this, you'll live. Do this, you'll get through. Because if they didn't have the laws, they'd go off on their own thing like they did. You know, they hadn't been out of the wilderness that many days. Moses was up the mountain even receiving the law. And they've gone off on their own way. They've made themselves a little god, a little calf. They've fallen and started to worship that. They've forgotten that Moses had only been gone from them. Well, it was about 40 days he was up the mountain. So what's that? Just over a month, 6 weeks. 40 days, just under 6 weeks. And they'd forgotten God. They'd gone back on their experience. You know, they'd forgotten that God had brought them through the Red Sea. And now they're worshipping this golden image in the wilderness. You know, so left to their own devices, they would have completely blown everything and completely made a total mess up. So God gave them these laws to keep them on track. And that was only till Jesus came. We read that on a previous study. Now, this was only till Jesus came, till he could fulfill the law and bring in the era, what we call the era of grace, the dispensation of grace. And it's the grace of God that teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts so that we can live soberly, righteously and godly in the present age. The second thing that produces holiness, or holiness is the result of our subjection to God. Yes, it's a result of God's grace, but it's also a result of our subjection to God. The fact that we submit ourselves to God, we surrender to him, we do what he wants us to do. Let's go back to the book of Romans, chapter 6, and verse 22. Now, Paul here is writing to people that weren't Jews. These were Gentile people. These were the Romans. You know, and the Romans, they really did live how they wanted to live. You know, they made the rules, and if they were doing something which perhaps wasn't good, they made a rule, made a law about it, and made it sort of legal. You know, they lived their own ways. You know, some of the most wicked people in history were the Roman emperors. You know, they just ruled how they wanted to rule. And there Paul says, look, he says, he talks about in this latter part of this chapter about being slaves to sin. But here in verse 22 he says, now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. You've been set free from sin. You're no longer a slave to sin. You're no longer submitting yourself to sin, but now you're submitting yourself to God. He says, and that will produce fruit. The fruit to holiness. And then the end, everlasting life. You know, that submission to God, that you've been set free from sin, and you now become a... Now here, Paul uses the term slave. You know, he uses other, in other things, he talks about being a bond servant. You know, we're not that we are held in chains and made to do what God wants. And we're not whipped or beat like that. But, you know, we willingly surrender ourselves as a slave. You know, we're not slaves in that sense, but we take that position. You know, we submit ourselves to God. You know, we do what he wants us to do. We do his bidding. We do what he's calling us to do. Because it's producing in us holiness. It's bringing us to that point where God wants us to be. Now Jesus, talking to his disciples on the night, or just before he's betrayed by Judas, just before he's arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, on that Passover night when he shared the meal with his disciples, he says these words in John 15. We started off tonight talking about abiding in the secret place, under the shadow of the Almighty. There Jesus says in verse 4, he said, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And then in verse 8 he says this, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Now in Romans we had that phrase, the fruit to holiness. Last time I shared, we were looking at the fruit of the Christian. You know, holiness as a fruit of Christian living. You know, and here Jesus says, look, if we abide in him, or we remain submitted to him, in subjection to him, we are united in him, we live in him, we will be fruit bearers. We will produce fruit in our lives. And that glorifies God, that pleases the Father. Why? Because we are becoming like Jesus. That's the more we spend in God's presence, the more like him we become. You know, it's the same in any situation. You can go to a foreign country not knowing a word of their language, and the more you spend there, the more you become like them. You learn the language because you're living there. You know, if you have you go into a situation, you spend time with certain people, particularly if they're godly people, and it's the same in the opposite, if they're ungodly. You know, the more time you spend with a person, the more you become like them. You know, what they are rubs off on you, and what you are rubs off on them, and you become, it's like husband and wife, you know, they're totally separate when they meet, but they become one. You know, you begin to think and act the same after a period of time, because you're becoming more like each other. And when we spend time in God, we're becoming more like him. You know, that pleases God. That gives him glory. So holiness is a result of God's grace. It's a result of our subjection to God. And finally, I've just got a couple of scriptures here to read. It's a result of God's word. You know, the word of God, according to Paul, and he writes this to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3. And it's verses 16 and 17, and it's a It says here, it says all scripture, or the word of God, is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, the word of God thoroughly equips us for every good or every beneficial work. It teaches us. It provides evidence. It highlights our errors. And it instructs us how to live righteously, how to live holy lives. You know, if we want to know how to be holy, we need to look at God's Word. Because this is our instruction book. God's Word, it will instruct us, it will equip us, it will train us in righteousness. And it's given so that the man of God, or the woman of God, those that are God's, may be complete. That we may come to that place where, can I use the word perfection? What God wants us to be. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. Jesus, in his prayer in John 17, he says, sanctify, talking about us, praying for us and for his disciples. Not just for his disciples, but it says, and for those who will believe through their words. So he's talking about us. He's praying for us, and he prays that we are sanctified, or we're made holy by the truth. And God's word is truth. He's asking us, he's asking his Father that we are sanctified by the word of God. You know, sanctified, we're made holy by his word, by the word of God. Now, our final scripture tonight, and we'll finish with this. I've just got these few thoughts to leave with you. It's found in the Old Testament in the book of Jeremiah. And it's chapter 23. Jeremiah 23, and we're going to read verse 9. Now here it says here, now Jeremiah was a prophet that had to preach a message which wasn't a popular message. And he says, look, he says, my heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine has overcome, because of the Lord and because of his holy words. Now here Jeremiah declares that his words are holy words. God's words are holy words. You know, when God speaks those words, it causes change in our lives. We've prayed tonight, and you know, part of the prayer that I prayed, I said about the, quoting the scripture from Psalms where it said, he sends his word and heals. You know, God's word has the ability to change situations. You know, if you're sick, it's good to read what God says about healing. Because God's word will bring healing into our lives. If we look at the healing scriptures, I did this some time ago. I was going through a state where I was sick and in quite a bit of pain. And I actually felt quickened by God to stop my systematic reading. You know, I systematically read through the scriptures. I normally take it book at a time, don't go from cover to cover, but you know, I might spend some time in the New Testament and some time in the Old, and until I've read right through. So I have a systematic thing, but God quickened me on this particular occasion not to do that, but just to start through from Genesis. I suppose it was systematic in one way, and just find all the scriptures to do with healing. And I went through from Genesis through to Revelation, with my concordance and with help of my computer to find the things a bit quicker, but I went through and I read every scripture to do with healing. Because God's word, when you read healing scriptures, it brings healing to you. If you're looking for some other situation, some other problem, find the scriptures that talk about that. If it's about meeting your needs, find the scripture that says that God will meet your needs. And if it's, you're looking for if you're looking for salvation scriptures, go through the scriptures to talk about being saved. If you're looking for a problem you're facing, find the scriptures that talk about that problem. You know, because God's word will bring, will affect a change. You know, what you read will be produced in you. And holiness. You know, just as healing words minister healing to our sick bodies, so words about holiness will minister holiness to us. It will feed us. It will cause us to grow. You know, God's words are holy words. You know, Jeremiah, he had to preach a message which wasn't popular, as I said. And, you know, he says, I can't help but preach this because God's word's right down deep, you know, and it's just got to come out. He didn't want to preach. He didn't want to say the things that God had instructed him to say because he knew he wouldn't be popular, he wouldn't be liked. And his preaching was of sort of doom and gloom and destruction that's going to come upon God's people because they've gone away from him. And he says, I just want to be quiet. I don't want to speak anymore. I'm not going to say anything else. But he says, God's word was in me so strong. It just had to come out. Like a fire shut up in my bones, it says in one of the verses in Jeremiah. So God's word will produce holiness. Now, God willing, next week, we're going to look at just some of our motives. Why should we be holy? What does God's word say? And there's four things to look at next week to finish the series of holiness off. So let's pray. Let's give thanks to God tonight. We've overrun a little bit, but not much. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity we've had tonight, Lord, just to be in this room, Lord. Lord, this is your house. Yes, Lord, it might be a room in a public center, but Father, Lord, this is your house. And Father, we thank you for your presence with us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the things we're able to talk about tonight. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the promises of your scripture. Lord, those promises of protection and, Lord, healing, Lord, and provision. Father, as we found in the Psalms. Lord, we thank you, Lord, tonight, Lord, we're able to pray. Lord, and seek you. Lord, that we've been able to pray for one another. Lord, and bring our petitions and our requests to you. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord. Lord, on holiness. Lord, that holiness, Lord, is a result of your grace. Lord, that your grace teaches us to live righteously. Lord, and holy lives. Lord, it's, Lord, a result, Lord, of our subjection to you, Lord, our submission to you. Father, Lord, that when we come to you, Father, Lord, we become more like you. Lord, and you're making us, Lord, holy. Then, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that it's a result of your word. Lord, as you speak your word, Lord, they're words of life, Lord. Lord, they're words, Lord, of truth. Lord, and we are sanctified, Lord, and made holy by your word. So, Father, we just pray tonight, Lord, that as we leave this place, Lord, that, Lord, your word will be in us. Lord, working in us. Lord, effecting that change. Lord, bringing us in, making us into the people, Lord, that you want us to be. Lord, that you're going to present us one day. Lord, a glorious church. Lord, without spot and wrinkle. Lord, we're going to be, Lord, holy as you are holy. So, Father, we just pray, Lord, that you just work on us until then. In Jesus' name, amen.